Old Testament reading for Easter comes from Isaiah chapter 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, a rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and then he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. And then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel of Mark most likely ends in a strange place with a startling word: fear. Yes, if you open your Bibles and look at Mark, you'll probably find Mark 16, 9 through 20. And there's nothing wrong with 9 through 20. It's largely a copy and paste from Matthew. There's no Dan Brown, Mary Magdalene, Da Vinci Code stuff in there. It's just that most of our ancient copies don't have that. The earliest copies end with, "They told nothing to nobody because they were afraid." Now, this might be greatly troubling if Mark was our only gospel, but fortunately we have three others. It might be mildly troubling if it was the first one which we heard, but like most of you, I'll bet, and most disciples of all times and places, we know the story orally first. Mom and Dad tell it to us. The church tells it in almost weekly in some form. Sunday school teachers tell it. Heck, I'd even wager there are some here today who have not read a gospel in its entirety, yet nevertheless, they know the ending of the Jesus story. Jesus rose. Scribes started tacking on Mark 16, 9 through 20 for obvious reasons of discomfort. Discomfort that the gospel ends not knowing where we really know it ends. The same reason that J.K. Rowling tacked on that awful epilogue to Harry Potter. You've got the whole story of the characters that we've come to love. You've got to tell it. Relieving that discomfort has a tendency, though, of neutering the entire story. We'll come back to that. But the other reason for that discomfort is that it ends on that odd note of fear. But fear is a constant problem in this world. If we just look at last week, let's think about everything that we have been encouraged to fear. And I'm not saying that some of these things aren't appropriate to feel a little fear at. but just that is what they inspire. Fear of Iran getting a bomb, cascading into fear of every Middle Eastern state getting a nuclear bomb. And all of those fears merging into a Middle Eastern nuclear war. That was the scenario written by a former instructor of the U.S. Army War College. Israel's estimate is that Iran, under the agreement put forward, will have the material within a year. The loss of religious liberty and the slippery slope that it might lead to. New York Times columnist Ross Douthat asked a series of 7 questions in light of the freakout over Indiana's law. His questions were basically tied to where does the conflict between homosexuals and Orthodox Christianity, Muslims and Jews, end? His first question he asked was, do religious affiliated schools get to stay in business and keep accreditation? Down through his 7th question being, do Orthodox parents who would presumably attempt to teach their children the sexual ethics of the church get to keep their kids? No leftists bothered to answer the New York Times columnist, which probably means that number 7 is not off their table. They wouldn't want to preliminarily limit the spoils of war. The California governor took to the Sierras to proclaim mandatory water restrictions in the face of a massive drought. Standing on green grass, where he said 5 feet of snowpack should have been visually pushed the fear. One wit quipped that if Californians still read their Old Testament, they'd know what massive drought meant. But the fear of Jezebel and the prophets of Baal was not what was on his mind, but the growing conflict between massive cities and California agriculture, both of which are impossible without that Sierra water. And those are just war, famine, and plague. The real fear has been what happens if the Sabres manage to win a couple of games and blow that number 1 pick. Or are the Cubs going to blow the Back to the Future prophecy by sending Chris Bryant down for a couple weeks? So, we are all facing some amount of fear, whether it is existential fear or simply worry, like who will roll away the stone? And that's where the Marys and Salome were also. The stone was there. And behind that stone was a dead son, a dead savior. Some, they had placed their hopes and their fears into. And now they were simply, seemingly alone. The hopes gone. And the fears back, and it was very large. But when they get to the tomb, that deep representation of all of those fears, the stone is gone. And an angel tells them, stop being afraid, he's risen. And then he's got a job for them. Go tell his disciples, those who might have fled but didn't deny, and tell Peter, the one who denied him and wept bitterly. Tremors and ecstasy gripped them as they fled from the tomb. This is the original game changer. If this is true, their life will never be the same. If this is true, hope is back, and fear must be left behind. But right now, they say nothing because they were afraid. Who will believe us? What if it's not true? Am I really willing to change myself in the face of this truth? We know the outcome from elsewhere. We know that the Magdalene decides to wait and look and meets a man who she thinks is the gardener. We know that these women eventually do go and tell Peter and John, who run to the tomb. And we know that they eventually took that angel's job at his word, because we are the heirs of that word. But Mark leaves it at fear, because this is exactly where we so often are at. This is the Easter question. We know the word. He's risen. Even 2,000 years later, if we really hear it, it gives tremors and ecstasy. Because the world is different today. We actually have hope. He's risen, and we too will rise. And we have no reason to fear. Yes, they can take this life. Those fears we opened with might be real, but they can't take our life, because he's risen. Our life is safe with him. The question before us is, are we willing to change our life in the face of that truth? Do we prefer our fears, or do we live into the hope of the resurrection? Does our life, the way we live, say he's risen? Or does it say, I'm afraid? We know the rest of their story. What's the rest of yours? There's that discomfort. And unlike J.K. Rowling, I can't relieve it with your epilogue. Only you can write that. I'm here to say, he's risen. Action or retreat? Belief or fear? It's up to you to write your ending to the Gospel of Mark. Amen.